Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And we do. What an honor we have to just say holy, holy to you. And God, we thank you that you've touched us, that you saved us, God. And so we praise your name for that. And I pray, you would just anoint me. I just speak words for the Spirit and God. And I just pray each heart would be open. And I just pray what's in your word would come across and penetrate us to realize who we are and the privileged position we are in. So we just thank you, give this service to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, we have here the message, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. And this chapter 10, well, John, all of it is amazing, but certainly chapter 10 so focuses on that subject. And so what you have is Jesus, he's coming in and he is expressing this. These are his words and he's making an impact into this, the whole nation of Israel and ultimately the world. And so we're going to start off. So Jesus, like I said, Jesus is making an impact. He's making himself known. And let us just look at John 10:30 to start off with. John 10:30. So Jesus says, he goes, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Now we're going to look at this and kind of pull it together and see the impact of what he's saying and what the people realized. What the people realized. And to you, you've got to remember when we look at this, you have Jesus is speaking to a religious group of people. It's like they don't know. You ever talk to somebody and they just, well, they don't know, and you explain the detail. That's not the case here. The people knew the background. They had the Old Testament. They had religious leaders. And so they had a element of knowledge. And Jesus comes and expresses this. So that's context. And ultimately, it goes to the whole world. But in the beginning, it was right here. And so you see this, and he makes this statement. Now, this one statement that Jesus made, this one statement, is the primary reason, it's the primary reason that the religious leaders and the Jewish people crucified him. So this is a big statement. This is what put him on the cross, this statement right here, and the things are around that. And the thing of it is, the people he talked to fully understood what he said and the implication. They weren't like, golly, what's... No, they understood what he said, all right? And so we also know that Christianity exists because of what he said. So therefore, we should pay attention to what he said, all right? I mean, we really should pay attention to what he says here. Now, so to kind of give you the flow in this, and you know I love to put it in context, but, you know, bear with me here. And so Jesus made this statement. He made this statement in Jerusalem during the Jewish feast of dedication. So it was their gathering for this feast. Now, in John 10:22, it says this, at that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So he's in the temple area in Jerusalem. Now, the feast of dedication, anybody know what we know it is today? You can shout it out. It's Hanukkah. Here, the Jewish share Hanukkah. This is it. This is what they're celebrating. The Feast of Dedication is Hanukkah. They call it Hanukkah today. Same feast. Now, and what this was, this feast is established as a memorial for the purification and the rededication of the temple in Jerusalem. Okay? And the guy who did it, you love this. You ever heard the Book of Maccabees and stuff like that? You know, kind of the... Well, the guy that established this was Judas Maccabee. Okay, so connected. Judas Maccabee, those are historical figures. The Maccabees are historical figures. So he established this on December 25th, 165 BC. It was Christmas. when they celebrate Hanukkah, right around Christmas, okay? So it's funny how that all that kind of pulls forward. So anyway, Maccabees did this. He established it in December 25th, 165. Now, what happened is 3 years earlier, 3 years earlier, in 168 B.C., the Syrian king Antiochus Epiphanes, okay? Now, that name, you think, well, please. But a lot of people, when you study his life, they think he's a type of Antichrist. So he's a bad dude, okay? And for some reason, for unknown reason, he's hated the Jews, okay, among other things. Just being a bad person, they hated the Jews. And so what he did, he and his army captured Jerusalem in 168 B.C., massacred thousands of people, estimated up as high as 80,000. I mean, it just massacred thousands of people, and he plundered the temple, stole all the stuff out of it, and you know how the Jews were big on sacrifices and doing lambs and stuff, and so just pour salt in their wound. He took a pig and sacrificed a pig on the altar of God. Okay, this is, you know, just one of, not your nice person. And so that's what he did. Well, you have this Judas Maccabees defeated him, ran him out of Jerusalem, and therefore he rededicated the temple, and they make a holiday, 160, that they celebrate today. Well, that's how it came about, the rededication of the temple. And so this is when Jesus walks in. So Jesus knows all of this. All these people around it and understand this is a big national religious celebration. Lots of people there. People say just went, during these feasts, like millions of people would come to Jerusalem. Plus Jesus. Okay, plus Jesus. Now, and so you have this. So he has, if you will, an audience, and he's made an impact. People understand that, okay, Jesus is a little different, and you know he's bringing some, it's interesting, he's causing a stir, just put it that way. Jesus is causing a stir, and you see in John 10:24 what it looked like. It says this: so the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe." Okay, that's the atmosphere. Okay, that's the whole atmosphere. So you have Jesus by word and deed. He's already shown the works of God, and people are they're paying attention to him, so he's already shown the works of God, like chapter 9. He healed a man that was born blind. So he's done that. So, I mean, he's coming in with a blast. And so So Jesus continues the conversation in John 10:25. It says this. Listen, he says, "The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me." I mean, he's kind of like going, hey, you know, just look around, what's happening? "The works that I do bear witness to me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep." Now remember, all before this, he's talking about his sheep. You know, he's going to the pens and the sheep. He said, "I am the great shepherd." So he's following on that, very consistent in thought here. And so it's, I lost my place, so I get here. So they're gathering around him, and he makes this comment, you know, to explain. And so just imagine the tension in the place, the people, and he goes, "You're not my sheep. That's why you don't understand. You're not my sheep." You ever wonder, I'm sure a lot of you have been like to evangelistic classes or something, how to share the gospel, you know? And I am totally convinced Jesus never went to any of these classes. Never. I mean, it's God. You're like, "Golly, Jesus, you kind of lighten that up a bit, kind of work into it." He didn't. Okay, he just didn't do it. So, fascinating. It's just, you don't believe me, you don't believe me, you're not my sheep. But if you were my sheep, you'd believe me. you know. So, but he had works to back that up. So I'm not downgrading evangelistic, diplomatic approaches, you know. However, you know, the truth is the truth. So this is the context. This is the context here. And then he goes on to say this. Here's the whole atmosphere. Then he goes on to say this in John 10, 27. He's saying Jesus is Jesus, and he does the works of God, but no matter, and we need to know this, no matter what he does, those who are not his sheep will not believe. They're not going to believe. See, don't be surprised today when people, they're just not going to believe. I don't care what you say, what they see, they're not going to believe. Nothing has changed. But the thing of it is, Jesus' sheep are different. His sheep are different, all right? And in John 10, 27, it says this, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Jesus' leadership and his followers, I mentioned this last week, are self-authenticating. Why is he leader? Because, you know, we follow him because he's leader, you know. Why do you follow him? Because we hear his voice. See, it's like self-authenticating, okay? He goes, "My sheep hear my voice. Those who are not my sheep, they don't hear it. They're not going to hear it." So this whole contrast as he's speaking to this people, and it's causing a stir, if you will. It's causing a stir. So Jesus calls his sheep hear. Now he goes on and says, he's going to see where he says something else here. "No one can snatch Jesus' sheep from his hands." Okay? "We are secure for all eternity." Can't happen. Well, this person lost their salvation. That's not a Christian doctrine. It's not. Well, they lost it. No, they didn't lose it. They didn't have it. And 1 John said, they went out from us because they were never of us. See? Well, no, there's no will. There's no will. It's like that. And so, kind of the proof's in the pudding. Okay. Now, I'm not saying don't be nice. Okay. Jesus was nice. But I'm saying you got to be, stand on the truth. And you got to say the truth. You have to say the truth. And so, it's really important that. And so we know, he said, "No one can snatch them out of my hands." No one. Can't do it. Now listen to this verse here. Now Jesus, what Jesus has done, Jesus has set us apart from all people in the world. We need to realize that. Well, what about them? What about them? What about you? What about you? He's the one. You're the one he touched. Well, what about them? What about you? See, this is what he's saying to us to understand who we are. And, you know, kind of let Jesus, the things around us, let Jesus work that out. Okay? Let Jesus work that out. But we know he spoke to us. How do we know he's the Christ? Because we heard him. You know, how we know these people are not of Christ? Because they don't hear him. And this is what Jesus is telling us. He said, "I'm just telling." Now, here, he's saying it about himself. He's saying it about himself. So the message is going out, but he's identifying people, because these people, the ones that believe on him, I mean, they're going to get in hot water soon, okay, in this religious atmosphere. He said, "I'm just letting you know." But that's how you identify people that know Jesus. They hear his voice. Now, you understand I'm not talking about an audible voice you hear like that. Could be, but it's like you, the things of Christ from the Word, testimonies are shared, you hear, and the Holy Spirit draws you to, and you accept. And Jesus is saying, that's evidence. That's evidence of me, and that's evidence that you belong to me, that you hear his voice. So what Jesus is doing, he's setting us up apart from all people. From all people. I mean, I do this, but you hear people, you go, well, what about them? Use your own family. Okay, you're sitting for dinner and you're having, somebody's eating together and you're having a good time, and the kids are saying, what do you think? And they go, well, what about them, the next door neighbors? Now, if you were like me, well, you can go eat with them and sleep there while you're there. Now, I mean, I know a lot of y'all wouldn't do that, but Linda and I just always had a low tolerance there. It's like, you know, you need to praise Jesus that you're here with us. Well, kind of that's what Jesus does. He says, wait a minute, enjoy the meal with me. All right? Don't worry about the neighbors. Enjoy. Understand. He's trying to make us understand that we're people set apart from all other people in the world. Now, in this age, we go, well, that is exclusive. Yep, it is. You need to be inclusive, Jesus. That's not what Jesus says. See, Jesus is not inclusive. He's not. Either you accept him, you don't accept him. Who accepts him? Everybody comes. You know, he says, you're separate from all other people. I make you different. Again, what's the key? What's the key? We go, you know, thanks, here you go. All this stuff that the world brings up and skin color and like that. Jesus, no, if you're me, I know if you're me, well, you hear my voice. You see, it's all one. You hear, that's the key. You hear my voice. So this is what Jesus is saying here. And what he does, he's setting us apart from all other people in the world, but also what he is doing, and he is destroying the credibility of all other religions in the world. He has destroyed all credibility of all religions in the world. You know why? Because he is God. And everything centers around him. Everything else, it's anathema, the curse. See? And again, you can't help. But that's exclusive. Yep. It is. See? Everybody comes to him, but if you don't, it's excluded. And in heaven, the ones that sing praises to the Jesus are the ones that were included. And are the ones, what their qualification? They heard his voice. Period. Isn't that simple? It's just a lot simpler. It's, you know, the world gets really confused because they try to figure out things in human situations, you know. And Jesus said, yeah, this is real simple, you know. But it's had a point that, like, Jesus, I don't know if you're doing this right. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying, you know, I don't like, it was reading in the Bible, and they said, I don't like the way Jesus said this. I went, don't do that. let's don't edit the Bible. Okay, we cannot understand it or do, but don't do that, you know. It's like, you just really shouldn't do that, you know, to edit the Bible. Because he said it. It's the Word of God, and we need to hear what he says. So here you have Jesus. He sets us apart from all people. He destroys the credibility of every single religion. I don't care how sweet they are. How sweet they are. So here we have right here, he gives a confirmation. And this is a fascinating verse because he says this. And I don't have the overhead, but you really should mark it in your Bible and something to meditate on. So Jesus made this statement, you're special in the whole world. I've set you apart. You know. So he said it. So he's made this statement. Then he says this. Remember his audience, who he's talking to. They're not Most of them are not buying into this at all. Then he says this to the people he has at this feast. He goes, I, Jesus, I give them eternal life. And they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Not only I give them eternal life, not only are they mine, no one will snatch them out of my hand. Then he goes on and says this, my Father who has given them to me. You just thought you just came to Jesus all by yourself, didn't you? Because you were really good. You're so fortunate to, you know, be on him, to have you on his team, you know. But no, he said, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. I mean, he's nailing this thing down for his people. He is nailing it down. Now, Jesus is talking about us. He's talking about us. We are in Jesus' hand, and no one can snatch us out of his hand. Also, we are covered by the Father's hand, and no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. Now, we'll look at this illustration. Here we got Jesus' hand, okay? We are in Jesus' hand. You with me? We're in Jesus' hand, right there. In Jesus' hand. And then God the Father covers us in his hand. And no one can snatch us out from the Father and the Son's hands. He's got us. You can't lose your salvation if you ever have it. No one can ever take you away. No one can ever remove you. No one can pull you away. He's got you. You see what? That's what he's saying here. You know. Now, the religion out there said, well, we got this other stuff going on. You know, now, this is not going to work. The other stuff going to work. If you're my hand, Father covers you with his hand. In my embrace here, no one can touch you. No one can snatch you. Can all people's guys say amen? That's who we are. See, Jesus, that's what fascinates me about reading the Bible and stuff, is that Jesus is trying to convince us about who we are. He already knows it. We're the ones that don't know it. So he's trying to convince us who we are. And right here, he's telling us, no, there's a security, but the security is in me, period. Now, you know what anathema, that's a biblical term, anathema. You know what anathema means? Curse. And he uses, Paul every once in a while uses people, says, it's a curse, you're cursed. So when you say, Jesus got you in your hand, you're covered by the Father's hand, and you know, I need something besides Jesus. It's an anathema. That's a curse. Well, I need to offer a good work. That's an anathema. That's a curse. See, well, I need a little religious input. That's an anathema. Because God is saying, how can you add one smidgen to this? Do you see his mindset? How can you? How dare you? If you add the littlest thing, you don't deserve me, and you will be eternally separated. That's what he's saying. This is what he's saying. So we look at this. Because of this, we know we're eternally secure in the Father. And so now this is why he says the verse we started with, John 10:30. I and the Father are one. That's the reason he said it. Do we believe it? Do we believe the ramifications of it? Can we embrace the whole concept of that? I and the Father are one. Jesus is not just another good teacher. That's an anathema. That's an anathema. Well, he's almost everything, but not quite. That's an anathema. Okay, anathema. So as we look at this, we see that Jesus declares that he and the Father are one God. He and the Father are one God. The statement, I and the Father, preserves the separate individuality of the two persons in the Godhead. He goes, I, the Father. So he preserves the two persons. Then he includes it by following the neuter, not he or she, the neuter one, that means one, it's just one. So following this, with the two persons individually preserved and followed by the pronoun one, asserts unity in nature and equality. I and the Father, separate beings, are one. I praise God. That means you praise God and Jesus. God the Father and Jesus. That's what he says. Guys, that means a lot. That two individuals, one. That's what it means. And now, so when you look at this, the oneness of the Father and Son also means oneness of mission and purpose. Now, this statement right here, we kind of camping out here. This goes back to John 1:1. Go back 10 chapters to John 1:1, which tells us about the deity of Christ. And it says this, in the beginning, y'all could probably have this, maybe have this memorized. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was 1:1. And the Word was God. Well, who's the Word? John 1:14. And the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. Who became flesh? You got this thing nailed down. It's the Word. The Word was God. Jesus, in the beginning, was Jesus. And Jesus was God. And Jesus became flesh. Jesus, the being, deity being, came to this earth and he became flesh. Jesus, God, covered himself with flesh. There's no one in religion goes here. Jesus is God. Amen? And then he covered himself with flesh. See? And then he did all sorts of things, because it was God. Yet he showed us how flesh should operate by listening to the God in you. And that's what he did. The flesh didn't dictate what he did. He operated by the God in him, and he did it perfectly because he was God. But he was the perfect man covered in flesh because he came within a body. Amen? Is that making sense? So, now, when I look at this, I say, golly, it seems like spending a lot of time on this. But Jesus spent a lot of time on it. And not only that, he made it a reality of who he was and who we are and who we are supposed to be. See? Who we are supposed to be. And you can see how absolute he was, just an anathema for someone who worship other gods, worship other idols, or worship themselves. I can get there on my own. Or I say, I don't believe in God. I don't need God. And you'll have your prayer answered. You see? But God is saying, Jesus is saying, I'm different. I'm different. And I'm making all the difference in the world. And it has to do with you. Has to do with you. Now, everybody with me, okay? This is what you. Now, here's the thing that really is. The Jews totally understood what he said. They totally understood what he said. Like I said, that's what got him crucified, because they understood what he said. In fact, we see next verse, the Jewish population and the religious leaders, they understood. In verse 10:31, it says this, the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, it is not for a good work that we are to stone you, but for blaspheming. Because you, being a man, make yourself God. That's it. That's what killed him. That's the reason he went to the cross. You, a man, make yourself God. Look at this overhead. Blasphemy, overhead here, equals sentence of death. Blasphemy equals death. And so what you had, and what is the blasphemy? You, a mere man, make yourself out to be God. They knew what he said. They knew exactly. Well, they just did this out of ignorance. No, sir, they knew exactly what he said. Okay, you see what's happening? So Jesus is like, oh my goodness. The crime then, this is the crime. This is Jesus' crime. And this is Jesus' crime today. People say the church is being persecuted. What do the kids say? Duh. I mean, the world, anybody can be God, but Jesus. Okay, I mean, anybody be God. You can look up, not Jesus. Don't let Jesus be God. See, because there's a whole transformation that comes with that. Why? I mean, why would anybody persecute the church? You know, I mean, I think. I would just go, I'm a good guy. Why would anybody get upset with it? Well, one thing, you declare Christ is God, then all of a sudden you're out of step. Out of step. And, you know, this, I've said this before, but it fits into so much. Well, I believe in God, but I don't wear it on my sleeve. I just keep it to myself. See? Because I know, if they find out I think Jesus is God, I'm going to get persecuted. I'm going to call problems, you know, or any other religion would not get persecuted. Why? Because Jesus is the one, he says he's God. Then if he is God and you believe that, then he directs, he sets the course, and it makes you out of tune with the whole world. Satan despises the church. Satan would throw a bone to other religions. Hey, man, you guys, keep it going. He don't care. They're doing his work. But your church is not. See? And so that's the reason the persecution comes. That's the reason the persecution comes. Because Jesus is God. And he's just clothed in flesh. See? Remember that picture. All right, so what we have here, they understood, and Jesus knew they understood. You know, we read this like, oh, they didn't know, and he didn't explain himself. They understood, and he knew they understood. No question about it. And so what does Jesus do? You kind of like this. You know, it's like, what does Jesus do? He knew, they knew. So what Jesus does is doubles down. Hey, Jesus, they're going to kill you. You've made everybody mad. Doesn't look good. What does he do? He doubles down. Oh, my God, we've mentioned Christ. And we've offended people. Oh, gosh, we don't make it. We'll just back off of that. All right. Well, just know that Jesus' picture, when they figured out he was Christ, he doubled down. See, there's a lesson there. See, we're looking for the world to act right. Forget it. It's not happening. It's just not happening. They're not going to act right. I mean, we have trouble acting right, loving Jesus. They don't love you. They're not going to do it. You know? So they're bought into this. And so, Jesus has made his point. Is the population as a whole, and the, I mean the religious leaders are fried. Oh my gosh. I mean they're steaming. They're steaming. But the people too, a lot of people, they either don't know or like, wait a minute, like this. So how does Jesus double? This all had been said. Here's the feast. All this has happened. Look what Jesus' comment is at the end of this. John 10:38. Father is in me, and I'm in the Father. I mean, that's just not politically correct. I mean, you're just going down this one way. And it doesn't look good for you, Jesus. It's the truth. It's the truth. The Father. Now, Jesus, this is a guy. I mean, we'd have a problem come up. You would have a problem with it, me. If, oh, I just want you to... Father, extend me. I want you, you know, pay me some respect. Just stop it. Just quit it. Don't you say that. But what Jesus said, no, the Father's in me. He's in me. And I'm in the Father. That's the statement. Jesus is God. Jesus and the Father are one. No compromise. Don't ever participate in any church that says otherwise. There's a lot of stuff, you know, whatever. Not that one. Not that one. So you can't go there. Now, everybody with me, okay, right here. Jesus is God. I mean, the magnitude of this is overwhelming. Okay, the magnitude. Jesus is God. And that's a great mystery, but there's something else that makes Jesus unique. Okay, there's something else that makes Jesus unique and makes us unique. Okay, so get rich on these drums. I just so many times I want a drum roll. We need a drum roll right now. Need a break. Here's a drum roll. So we have this picture. Okay, Jesus is God. Wow, we're separated from, you know, the other world, honored, and he's protecting us, you know, we're in his hand, covering it, and just the power that we could just meditate on that, that's who we are. Now, we don't think we're that. We don't. And if you're like me, you're belly aching about everything, all right? We don't think we're that, but God thinks we're that. God knows we are that. But here's the greater mystery. This is mind-boggling. This mystery is mind-boggling. Okay? Jesus, God, lives in us. Get out of here. Get out. Jesus is God, lives in us. Now, I'm going to say something to you, and it's going to be a little disturbing. Jesus, well, let me read the verse before. I need scriptural backup before I say this. Look at the over here, Colossians 1:27. This mystery, which is Christ in you. Okay, now, what's the mystery? I have to have you talk to me because I want you to know we're on the same page. What's the mystery? Okay. All of us will go, one, two, three, get out of here. That's what it says. That's what it says. Now here, hold on, this is what it says. It's quoting scripture, we go back to it. Jesus, it's God, he's God, right? Here, you can see. And Jesus was clothed in flesh. And that's how he functioned. And he did everything perfect because he was God. He's clothed in flesh. He was a perfect man because he was God. He's clothed in flesh. You got this? Jesus, God, is clothed in flesh. What are you as a believer? What are you as a believer? You're God clothed in flesh. How many of you? No, that's not right. That's right. That's right. when you accept Christ, what happened? I want some interaction here. Some of you sucking your thumb. Interaction. When you accept Christ, what happened? Receive Christ, right? Okay. Then therefore, you, flesh, accepted Christ. Here's the flesh in Jesus. Just like Jesus. You know what? One of the things Jesus did, this is what he did. He came on this earth and he showed us something. He showed us the perfect man. But he said, no, he came down here and showed us God. Now we knew what God was. Jesus, the Jews knew what God was. They knew what God was. Jesus showed us the perfect man. That's what he did. So, I just drive this home again. What was Jesus? He came down. He's God. And he is clothed in flesh. And he's functioning. All right. He's limiting him. It says in Philippians that he willingly set aside his authority and dwelt among us. He willingly made that decision. Okay, I'll walk around with you guys. I mean, that's what he said. See? So he's walking around and he's ministering to people as God, but he's working through a human body and he's showing us what man is supposed to look like. Can you imagine Jesus says, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. No, he's going to do what Jesus is going to give the body direction to. Now, we accept Christ, and Christ indwells us. So we become flesh with God in us. We become Christ covered in flesh. Now, what's the difference between us and Jesus? You know, us. I mean, it's like the thing of it is, when Jesus came to live within us, we didn't leave. You know, he said, scoot over. We go, All right. So, what is here? So, how many of you can just say, in general, these are just generalities. You just see somebody plodding along and they accept Christ and all of a sudden they just act different. You know, they get a gleam in their eye and they're praising Jesus. They go, what's wrong? What happened to them? See? Well, what happened to them, Christ indwelled and all of a sudden they're excited about what happened. Right? You see that. Now, as you go through life, what happens? We're not quite as excited as we were when we received Jesus. Because Jesus starts interfering with our life. You know? And so as he interferes, I love it to bring the marital. Because when Linda and I have a good up and down, out of the ashes marital relationship, you know? It's like you're getting a back and forth. I mean, not that y'all would, but we have and do, getting a back and forth. You know? And so she snaps at me. And God goes, you show her kindness and love like that. And I'm thinking, Jesus, no. She shouldn't have said that. And she doesn't have all the facts. And I need to explain to her some of the facts so that she will treat me the way I want to. Now, she's right here and she hears this poor Wallace. He doesn't understand. And I need to give him a little grace. That's what the Holy Spirit says. But she goes, he ain't not talking to me like that. He not going to talk to me like that. I'm telling you, Jesus, no Jesus. He ain't talking to me like that. Okay. Yeah, so we got this. What is this? And so we've walked with the Lord long enough, and so we'll spend, I mean, how long y'all stay mad at each other? Okay, I don't know. We can stay mad for a long time. And then after a while, we got to come around, and we get so convicted. So, you know, I've gone without dinner for 2 days. I just like, okay, I'm going to have to ask for forgiveness. You know, I'm going to starve to death because I don't cook. I mean, you know, and so I said, Linda, will you forgive me? And she goes, again? I said, yes, would you forgive me again? She goes, I think about it. And after a while, she forgives me. Now, wouldn't it have been easier if I listened to Jesus the first time? When it came, it was okay, let me make Jesus is me and you, and I'm going to show my lover like Christ loved the church. And I always love this verse, guys. I just love it. So just love her like Christ loved the church. Well, how much he loved the church? He went to the cross. See, for why? Okay, I'll go over the cross, but don't talk to me like that. You know, it's like, you see what I'm saying? I mean, do y'all rationalize that? Okay, I'll go to the cross. You just, I'll show you. No. So what Jesus is doing, the whole point is we come in and God is working himself out through us and he's teaching us our whole life. He's teaching us. And why is he teaching? He's teaching us to behave like he did, like Jesus. He's teaching us to behave like Jesus did. So here's the biggest mystery. It's Christ in us. Christ in us. And it's like, I could just keep going. We're like that. I said, you know, if she said that to you, Jesus, you'd be mad. So I know he couldn't take it either. So, that's what we do. That's what. Well, I do. I don't want to put any of this on you or nothing. I'll take it all on myself because I do all those things. I do all of them. Now, so here's the mystery, but here's the point we will come to here. And Jesus is coming on here, and this means what this whole section means, that the Father is in Jesus, and Jesus is in the Father, and Jesus is in us. What? Now, what I explain, what that said, that's the church. And the problem is the church, it doesn't act like Jesus. You know, it acts more like me. That's kind of like. So, means the Father is in Jesus, Jesus is in the Father, and Jesus is in us. Now, if like some of you are going to say, you know, so what? I mean, it makes your head hurt. Like, oh my gosh. And how does that really apply? How does that apply? And in reality, this applies to us wherever we go, whatever we say. See? Because we walk out into the world, you know. I mean, in our family, we kind of covered that. Let's get out of the family for a while. That gets too touchy. But we walk out into the world. But this is what walks out into the world. You know, the Son, the Father, and he walks out. That's what walks out into the world. That's who we are, and that's how God sees us. That's what he sees. God, why'd you put me here? Why am I here? Why? Because you bring me. You bring me. In all holiness, I go send somebody else. You know, Rich would do way better than me than that. He'd handle that. See, now, so this is a reality. So wherever we step in this world, this identifies our position in the world. We should think of ourselves like this. That's how God sees us. See? And all these problems we have, you're going to hate it when I say these, all our problems we say are opportunities. But I don't like it. That wasn't the question. It's an opportunity. And I hate it when people say this, and if the only Christ that people see will be you. And I'm thinking, oh, the world's in a big trouble. Oh, my gosh. You know, and then too, sometimes you don't even care. You know, it's like, I don't care if they see Jesus. They're not talking to me like that. So I'm just confessing. I know y'all don't do all those things, but I do. So what we have here, this identifies our positions. Now, I want to drive this home, and I believe this is an absolute truth that should affect every part of our body, part of our body. Christ is in us. Okay? He's in there. He's getting a little elbow, tells him to scoot over, but he is in us. Now, I want you to look at the screen. I want you to look at this picture. I want you to look at this. This is how God sees us. This is how it is. We're in Jesus' hand. The Father's hand is over us. And we, with Christ in us, is in between. Jesus under, God above, Jesus in the middle. That, right there, is a picture of the Christian life. We're in Jesus' hands, the Father's hand is over us, and we are in between the Father and Son's hand. He's clasped his hands around us, and we're in the middle, in his hands, with Jesus in us. What are your limitations? What are your limitations? Okay. I'm my limitation. It's like, okay, God, what do you want? Well, I want you. You know, then it becomes infinite. Then it becomes, and as soon as we bump Jesus out of the way, now let me tell you, this is how I'm going to plan my life out. God, just go ahead. Go ahead. He lets you, you know. By the way, how's it worked out so far? Ain't nobody smiled on that one. How's it worked out so far? You planning out your life, okay? God goes, no, right there. Now, let me, listen to me. I'm in you. And you say, oh, have you ever been in a meeting or something? You told us, oh, I just wish Christ was there, could explain this. And when you're in a meeting, that's who's in the meeting. That's who's in the meeting right there. Whatever issue you're going through, that's who's handling it right there. We don't have any, it's hard to say this, but we don't have any less than Jesus had. It was, well, yeah, tell me about it. He's in you, he's holding you, and the Father's on top. We do not have any less than what Jesus had. All right. And then in John 5:19 and 5:30, Jesus says this. He goes, I only do what the Father tells me. What we do. We should only do what the Father tells us to do. But if I don't fix this, oh, nothing will work. And they need me to fix this or plan my future. We need this. You know, God goes, no, you need to hear me. You need to hear me. And I want to tell you something about our flesh, my flesh. See, I'm going to poke you. My flesh. Our flesh will tell us things that are, our flesh does tell us things that are totally inconsistent with God. By definition, flesh will not tell us the correct thing to do. Okay, is that? So Jesus, do you see why Jesus? I mean, he's got an audience like crazy. I mean, he's December 25th, Hanukkah. You know, right there, he like that. No, he says, I and the Father am one. That's it. I am the shepherd. I am the door. You know, you come to me. You come to me. So, God so loved the world, he gave his Son so that we would not perish because we are his sheep and we are to hear his voice. Let's pray. Let's pray here. I've asked Craig to, and the band come back up and play that one song again because it just speaks it. It just speaks this. This is not some benign thing out in the thing we can just sing a song and go off. No, this is truth. This is truth, and this is how it functions, and we should walk in it. Walk into our problems. It's like, okay, Jesus under me, God over me, and Jesus in me. Not that. Okay. We can handle this. Can you handle that? Get your problem. Whatever problem you have, you got one. You got one. You got one. All right? You're in Jesus' hand. God's hand's on top of you. And you've got Jesus in you. Can you handle that problem? Can God handle that problem? Yeah. Where is God? In your problem. I love the thing in Daniel. A lot of people use it. They throw the three young men into the furnace because they won't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar looks in there and he goes, oh my gosh, I see four. I see four in there. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. He called them and said, come out. He tied them up and threw them in. He said, come out. And they came out. And he said, you couldn't even smell smoke on them. Couldn't even smell smoke on them. And the only thing that burned off was the ropes that they tied their hands. And I hate to say this because I don't follow it. All right? Problems are good for us. Problems are good for us. All right? Because we'll see Christ in problems. All right? We'll see Christ in problems. We'll see God's work in problems. Dear God, we give thanks to you. And I pray as we just sing this song along that we could just focus on you and what you're saying about us. About us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.